How many of you have stairs in your house? Just raise your hand. Both sides of the street. How many of you have stairs either in your house or leading up to your house? Or climb stairs to get to work? Just about all of us climb stairs from time to time. But few of us, I'm betting, realize the grave danger that we put ourselves in every time we climb or descend stairs. And even fewer of us are probably aware that there is actually a science behind stairs. Did you know that? There's a man named John Templer at MIT who devoted a portion of his life to a book that he titled The Staircase: Studies of Hazards, Falls, and Safer Design. Perhaps not the most noble cause that he could devote his life to. And I did not read Templer's book, though I'm sure it's riveting. But I read about his studies in another book by Bill Bryson called At Home. And I was shocked to find out, did you know that falling down the stairs is the second leading cause of accidental death in North America? Second, behind car accidents. Yeah, that's amazing. So in 2016, it is estimated that 1 million people will be seriously injured falling down the stairs. And that in the new year, about 12,000 of those who fall will die as a result of that fall. And in case you think you aren't likely to be one of those who will fall down the stairs, this study has shown that we trip on the stairs every 2,222 steps that we take. So if it's been a while since you tripped on the stairs, watch out, it might be your time. And, by the way, those of you who are in better shape than the rest of us, well, sorry, but you fall more often than the rest of us do. So if you had seconds at Christmas dinner, then you were just safeguarding yourself against stair falls this year. Well, why am I telling you all this? Because life is full of trips and falls. And some of us are better than others at safeguarding against trouble. But trouble visits all of us. And we will walk with a certain degree of blindness into this new year. And so here at the end of 2015, I want us to take a moment and consider a prayer that was written in the Bible by a guy who knew, like some of you know, that he was prone to tripping and falling through life. A prayer from a man who knew that on his own there would be some forces that would try to take him out. This man recognizes his need for God to do something in him that he cannot make happen on his own. I've had the opportunity for the past couple of years to talk with you on the last weekend of the year, and it's become one of my favorite occasions as we take time to reflect on the previous 12 months and to look ahead together. In preparing for this weekend, as I always do, I think about you and I pray for you and I ask God to direct my attention to words that would strengthen you and encourage you and prepare you for the new year. And that's how I came to this man's prayer in the Psalms that I want to share with you, and I want to learn from these words with you and be encouraged by them with you this morning. And so if you'll look at your bulletins, let's look at the verses together. You'll find in the center of your bulletin a list of verses there, and we're going to begin to look at Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3, this prayer by a man who knew his need for God. It says, a psalm of David. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. I will sing your praises before the gods. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your loving kindness and truth, for your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. And in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. I want to live bold in this new year. I want to experience strength in my soul. Do you want that in 2016? I do. Strengthen my soul for a bold new year. And so I want to recognize how we can experience that boldness and strength. That's where we're headed with our time this morning. And I want us to all, if you'd join me and pray and ask God to help us to have hearts that are open to His Word and open to the work of His Spirit that's among us. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the words of a man's prayer that were written down so long ago, and yet this morning still have a relevance about them to express what so many of us feel as we look towards this new year. God, I admit my own inadequacies and my own need for you to do in me and through me what I could never make happen on my own. And so, Lord, I pray, would you encourage us, would you strengthen us, would you give us boldness, God, as we turn our attention towards you and receive the truth of your word this morning. We trust you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are going to be reasons this year to live with some fear. Our world's in turmoil. War seems to be expanding and accelerating around the world. Our news reports keep us consistently mindful of the insanity that seems to live around us and the dangers that threaten to scare us and make our lives smaller. But I don't want to live that way this year. This year, I want to live bold with strength in my soul. We've welcomed the Christ child in our Christmas celebrations, but the weatherman keeps saying that El Nino is now on his way, and there's going to be some rain, and there's going to be some storms, and I can't even predict what storms await our relationships and our families and all the things that we cling to. And this man in his prayer says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. This boldness and strength in our souls comes as we cry out to God. But specifically, the psalmist is saying that this boldness and strength comes from crying out in a life of praise to God. His prayer reveals that he is a man who is unrestrained, uncompromising, and unashamed in his praise to God. In the midst of all that he faces, his devotion to God does not change. And that is the context in which God makes him bold with strength in his soul. The man says, I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart. And this tells us what kind of a life this man lives with God. I want to help fill out what he's saying. That phrase, I give you thanks. Look at that phrase. In fact, you could even underline it in your bulletin. I give you thanks. That phrase comes from a Hebrew word that is very rich in meaning. And it actually has as at its root the meaning to throw something or to shoot something. That's the word that he uses to say, I give you thanks. It's a word that describes, in fact, an arrow being let go from a bow and being propelled into the air, so that the man is saying, my life is an arrow released from a bow, soaring in praise to you. And look, he says, with all my heart, I'm holding nothing back. I'm leaving nothing out. This is a wholehearted, skyrocketing life of praise to God. So he wholeheartedly throws himself into praise. You want to live a bold life this year? You want strength in your soul? Become a man, a woman who praises the Lord with all your heart this year. Hold nothing back from your life with God. Be unrestrained in your praises that you throw out to God this year. I love our men's gatherings that were mentioned in the announcements. The men's gatherings are hosted a few times a year across the street, and it's one of my favorite occasions to be together with guys in our church. And men, any of you ought to come and be a part of that, if for no other reason than to experience the roar of praise that happens in that room as all of those guys are together. It's one of my favorite parts of our time when we sing together and there is this roar of praise. It's inspiring. There are no church ladies, there are no sopranos, just a manly roar of praise. And giving thanks and praise to God involves more than just singing, but that kind of life fully devoted to God, it begins inside of us and is released like an arrow from a bow in an unrestrained life of praise to God. And that's what we practice together as men in those men's gatherings. In fact, I want to invite all of you this year in 2016 to make this place on the weekends your praise gym. Because some of you will buy gym memberships in the new year, and some of you will make a go at getting back to the gym this year. But let's make this place where we exercise our praise to God, where we practice praise, where we throw ourselves into wholehearted devotion to God. We need a place and a time to practice. We need one another to encourage us onward in that devotion. And if I see you following Jesus wholeheartedly, like an arrow released from a bow towards God this year, then I am going to be encouraged to do the same. Tommy used to call the room across the street a worship laboratory, where we'd try new songs and we'd worship together. And it reminds me of in college. You remember when you'd have a lab along with a class? Well, if life's the class this year, we need a lab once a week where we come together and we practice and we become people of praise. Let nothing hold you back this year. I love this verse in Proverbs 28 that says, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Let's stand in the boldness and strength of God and praise Him with an unrestrained life this year. Just like those men's gatherings, let's throw up some mighty roars of praise to God this year, and let's be a church that grows in boldness as we do that. The psalmist is not only unrestrained in his praise, but he's also uncompromising. No one but God will get his unrestrained praise. No matter who or what he faces, God is going to get his praise. Can anything rob God of praise in your life? Can anything stop you from a wholehearted pursuit of life with God? Who's going to get your praise this year? Who will receive your worship? What will be at the target for the life that you release in the new year? Because this psalmist makes a really insightful statement. He says, I will sing your praises before the gods. Before the gods. What's he talking about? If I'm honest, I get a little uncomfortable when the Bible talks about other gods. I like the more monotheistic statements about the one true God. But it isn't unusual for writers, particularly in the Old Testament, to mention the gods. That's why Abraham and others give God the name the Most High God. It's this idea that among the nations and among the cultures of the world, people are going to give praise and worship to a lot of things. But the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he is the Most High God. He is the one true God. He is the one God of whom it is said, who is like our God? There is none like him. But the psalmist is pointing out to us that while we can believe that theologically, there are some things that are going to try to get into the center of our target this year. There will be some things that we are tempted to give our attention to and to value above the rest. And we cannot throw ourselves into a wholehearted life with God if we are elevating stuff in our lives to the place that only belongs to God. There will be some things that vie for your attention in 2016. There will be some things that seem right to us, but God will say no. Who will sit on the throne of your life this year? Before what gods will you stand and throw out your praises to the Most High God this year? I asked my men's group this question a couple of weeks ago, and it was helpful for us to go around and talk about what we are tempted to turn into false gods in our lives. I asked them, what's going to compete in your life with God this year? What will you be tempted to trust or to seek or to believe in or to rely on or to find hope in that God invites us to? My men's group talked about all kinds of things that are going to try to get into the center of that target. We talked about our time can get in the way of giving God our full praise. Work can get in the way. Careers, family expectations can get in the way. Even relationships can get in the way. Some of the most wonderful things in life can get in the way when we elevate those things and make them the ultimate thing. And we talked about all of the things that can derail us and distract us from life with God in the new year. Something is going to be tempting this year to trust in, to give praises to, and to mistake as being like God. But we will find God giving us boldness and strength in our souls only as we stand in the face of false gods and sing praises to the Most High God. The psalmist tells us also that he not only praises God before the gods, but he also bows in worship towards God's holy temple. The temple was a place, we don't have much of a comparable place like this in our world. But in that day, the temple was a place set apart to meet with God. And this guy is aligning his life with that place. He is aligning his life with God's holiness. He is bowing his life towards God's holy temple. Where God is has become his reference point for life. It's the same idea of following Jesus. When Jesus preached about the gospel and invited people to respond, he told them, turn around and follow me. Turn around and make me your reference point. Turn around and follow me. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20 says this, and dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Turning around and following Jesus looks like trusting Jesus to lead you and I into a life of holiness with God. Not a life of pious religiosity, a life that is set apart with God, with his purpose and with his presence. That's why Jesus came. He came so that he could remove every obstacle between you and I, or excuse me, between us and God, between you and a life set apart with God for you and I. That's why that verse says, by his death, the fact that Jesus died means nothing can separate us from God's love. By his death, Jesus has opened this new and life-giving way through the curtain into that place, into that life set apart with God. I love what I get to do, my job, to serve this community as a pastor, and to interact with people in our city. And I love what I do because I get to have the most intriguing and exciting and profound conversations with people. I got a call a few weeks ago from a young lady who asked if she could come and talk with me about Christianity and about Jesus and about faith. I said, of course, come on over to my office. And so we met together and I listened to her questions and I asked some questions of my own, and one of the things that I asked her is, what's brought you to this curiosity about Jesus? What's brought this about for you? And I wasn't too surprised to find out that it was a boyfriend who is a Christian. I don't usually advise people to do missionary dating, but it's amazing how often that happens. And so this young lady who came to see me, we talked, and we met again the next week, and we talked some more about Jesus, and then she signed up and went on our young adults retreat and spent a weekend away with our young adults. And she's not yet one of those 327. She's not yet come to a place of faith. She's still investigating. She's still deciding, can she trust Jesus to be who he says he is, to be her Lord and Savior? But it is remarkable to watch her pursue him. Her life is already starting to revolve around Jesus, and she doesn't even quite recognize it yet. She is pursuing life with Jesus more than some Christians that I know in her investigation to know him. God invites us to receive boldness and strength in our souls from him this new year as we give him our uncompromised praise, even before false gods. And as we give him our uncompromised worship towards a life set apart with him, pursue that with God this year. One last observation about boldness in the new year is that this psalmist is unashamed of God's loving kindness and truth in his life. He says, I praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. I once heard a story about a young man who met a girl and fell in love with her, though she didn't know it. And this man had a friend who was older and wiser, and the man went to his friend and said, I want to tell her that I love her, but I'm afraid to. And the friend said, well, make sure she knows you love her before you tell her. I love that. I love that because so often actions of love speak louder than words. And the psalmist is telling us that he's experienced the active love of God. He's seen it. He's felt it. He's known it. God's love for you and I is not only expressed in his words, though he does express it in the Bible, but it is also expressed through his actions towards us, through his pursuit of us. He is still active in his love for you and me. That will never change. What actions of God's love have you experienced? I praise your name for your loving kindness, he says. God's greatest act of kindness was loving us first and sending Jesus to show us that love and to secure for us forever God's kindness in our lives. Paul writes to the Ephesians saying this, this was his eternal plan which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and because of our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart. The God who has been shown to us through the coming of Christ is a God who is actively pursuing you and I with loving kindness. I've seen God's love calm the fears of my children. I've seen God's love restore broken families. I've seen God's love recover the lives of addicts. It is a powerful love. It is the most powerful force in existence. Don't make the mistake of believing that God wants you religiously polished and arrogantly spiritual, because he wants you just as you are, so that by his handiwork, by his loving kindness and his truth, he can make of you and I what we could never make of ourselves. The first time that I ever came to Christian Assembly, it was about 13 years ago when Lindsay and I first came to visit CA. We had moved out here from Texas, hadn't been out here long, and heard about this church, and so we came, and I'll never forget getting out of the car, and I had shown up like a good Texan in a suit and tie, and I looked around in the parking lot and thought, what in the world is going on here, as I saw people in t-shirts and things walking into church, and it was so different from my church background. I got inside, and Mark was preaching that weekend in shorts and tennis shoes, and I thought, what is this place? So we left and went and looked for another church for about 12 months. You ever look back at yourself and just think you were ridiculous? Lindsay and I spent the next year trying to find a church that fit the bill, until we ended up back here with a friend who had invited us. I didn't come back with my suit on. But when I came back, that particular weekend was a student ministries weekend. And it's we do this about once a year, where the students, middle school and high school, and the youth pastors take over the service, and they lead us in worship, and they teach us, and they tell stories, and it's always an exciting weekend. And this particular weekend, I will never forget, they were telling the story of a kid named Joel who had come to faith in Jesus in the youth group. And they were showing a video of Joel telling his story. And at the end of the video, right before it was over, the last thing Joel said was, God still has a lot of work to do in my life. I still struggle with smoking pot with my friends. And the video ended. And it almost seems embarrassing or shameful, but because of the church background I came from, the first thought that crossed my mind was, what kind of a church lets that kid represent their youth group? And we put the girl who could recite the book of James out front. That's who we put on display. And then Mark got up, and he said, can we respond to Joel's story? And the place erupted in a cheer that I did not know what to do with at first. And then the second thought crossed my mind. These people know something of the love and kindness and grace of God that I don't know if I've ever encountered. And that was the weekend that we decided we're coming back for more to this place. And I'm so grateful for a church like Christian Assembly, where we put on display both God's loving kindness and His truth. The psalmist says, I praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. There is a way that God invites us to life with Him. There is a truth of who He is and what He says is right and good and wrong. And this God of loving kindness is also a God of relentless truth. And in His great love for you and I, He will not settle for anything but the truest version of who you are and the truest version of your need for Him. And because of His love, we can also face the truth of that. To live bold lives in the new year, we need both His love and His truth. We need to see clearly our need for His redemption and His grace. If we just move throughout this new year, trusting God's love for us, but never letting Him examine us with His truth, then we are like people in a hospital refusing our doctor's care for fear of what he might find. Another place in the Psalms, Psalm 25 says, lead me by your truth and teach me, for you are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in you. We need His love and His truth to live bold lives in 2016. God invites you to live bold with Him. He wants you to throw yourself into wholehearted praise, even in the face of false gods that will tempt and distract us. He invites us to live boldly aligned with His holiness, following Jesus and set apart in life for Him. And by Jesus, He has made a way for us to live boldly under His loving kindness and truth. It is with this boldness that God invites you to 2016 with Him. With Him. Well, I want to end our time on a bold note I want to end our time practicing being people like we've talked about. And so I want to ask you to respond and do something with me. I hate bad reports from doctors. I've heard too many of them, it seems like, this year. Just last night, I got word of a dear friend of mine who is in critical care and may only have weeks to live because of cancer that's been found. And I've heard that it seems like just too many times this year. And so this morning, if you are here and you are facing some overwhelmingly bad news from the doctor, if you are facing a health issue, then I want to pray for you today. Both here on the north side and there on the south side, I want you to respond. If you just would ask God for healing, would you just raise your hand? And there may be some of you who have family members in your immediate family who need healing. I want you to raise your hand as well. Anyone who would ask for prayer for healing this morning, just raise your hand. And I want the rest of us to see those hands around the room. And what I want you to do is lean towards those people. If you're close enough to them, you might ask them, "Can I hold your hand? Can I place my hand on your shoulder?" Or you might just extend your hand to them. You can put your hands down now. But those of you who have asked for prayer, I'm going to lead us in prayer now on both sides of the street, and I just want to ask all of us to lean in and pray bold prayers for these people this morning. Let me pray for us. God, oh, I hate the bad news. God, I hate the sickness. And Lord, I admit that sometimes I'm scared to ask. Sometimes I'm scared to pray this prayer. Lord, sometimes I just don't know what you're going to do. And boy, on my own, I can feel really, really puny. And so, Lord, I ask that all over this room and all over the room across the street, that right now we would begin to experience your boldness and strength in our souls, God. I ask that you would begin to give us faith, that you would begin to give us strength to pray this prayer, to rely on you, to hope in you, to trust in you, God, to trust in you who you're the God of loving kindness and truth. You're the God of Jesus Christ. You're the God who has the power to raise your Son from the dead. Lord, I pray right now, I ask for all of your authority, your power, your kingdom come, your will be done, and I pray that you would touch those who need healing and that you would heal them, that you would relieve them of their suffering, Lord, that you would give them peace, you would give them strength, you would give them perseverance, you would give them your favor and your grace in their lives, God. We cry out to you. Like the psalmist says, we cry out to you and ask, would you answer us? And would you make us bold with strength in our souls as we trust you? And we trust you for this healing in the mighty name of Jesus. And together, let's all say, amen.